This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Frida Liu.
Arvind Yuvraj.
So we're talking to you today about how young is too young to begin preparing for a career. On the back of an article we found in Quartz, when should students start to specialise and how young is too young? Mainly because students at LaGuardia are doing a sit-in because they think their principal is pushing, enforcing too many academic standards and wants more rigorous requirements. They're saying, look, we're dancers, we're singers, we're actors. That's what we should be specialising in. That's the discussion that we're having today. We have some feedback via WhatsApp. I'm going to go to Magnus Leong first, who said originally kids zania for teens, but jokes aside, the youth should be taught free will. The lawyer, doctor, engineer, accountant mentality should go away. We also had one from number ending 7939, who says in my opinion, our society affects our choice as well. Most of the time, you're forced to do what your parents want to do, which is not so good. I've also got another one from ZR Gan, who says exactly what Richard just shared. Sometimes we just don't know what we want or what we're good at yet. Some people only find their life's purpose at 40, even later than what? Go through all the basics again. There's value in being a generalist as well. There's value in being a well-rounded, wholesomely educated individual. Also, what's with all the hate for math? Math is so much more than just regurgitating formulas. It's a way of thinking, a logical and systematic method of problem solving, and an analytical way of looking at things. The reason so many detest math is symptomatic of the bad way it's taught. Not a problem with needing it later in life or not. We all need basic math skills in life, in my honest opinion, period. I really don't like to see somebody not learning science and maths at all in this day and age, going very far. Like it or not, some basics need to be learnt regardless of your specialization and or career later on in life. I feel what we need to focus more on is helping students find different subjects and fields of study interesting. Our education system globally needs to change from being one that imposes to one that encourages. Great words.
This is perfect. Yeah.
I'm not saying I hate maths. I'm just saying that at some point in my adulthood or childhood, it became one of those subjects that just felt meaningless to me, you know. And I know it's not, and I you know, looking back, I know that there are things I could have used later on in life. It wasn't until I found a teacher a little bit later on, and I was a little bit older, that explained things to me in a way that I could understand.
Yep.
That made it more interesting. And I've since, after university, actually started to develop a bit of a crush on maths, for want of a better phrase.
I think a lot of people hate math because they are bad at math. Like, I know that's why I hate it. I'm bad at math.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so
yeah.
I just don't like the subject.
Anything over on Twitter?
No.
They're also quiet
so
on Twitter.
So quiet. Yeah. So quiet.
Is anyone in town?
Everybody's just sleeping from all that lemang that they've been eating. You know,
yeah.
In fact, they're still making it downstairs right now. Anyway, we should probably move on to our second discussion, which is related to our first discussion. Arvind is talking to us now about choosing what to be when you finally grow up.
Eventually grow up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I picked this because when I was looking for talking points for this talk set, like how, you know, facts to pull and, you know, people have spoken about it. Most of it is just, in my opinion, complete nonsense because it's simplified. And I couldn't find one good article that sort of really spoke to how people should choose their careers when they either get older or when they have the ability to choose those careers, because all of it is overly simplified and doesn't make much sense. Like, it goes like, you know, assess your choices and list down your options and then start canceling them off one by one. I'm like, it's not me going on to buy like groceries. It's picking a choice.
Yeah.
It has to be, you know, it's a complicated, like complex process.
Oh, I did
right?
a SWOT analysis.
Analysis?
I did a SWOT analysis of career choices. If I took this, what are the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats?
Yeah.
I'm serious, I did that.
Yeah. Because it's not, you know, it's a long-term or significant amount of time thing, right? So I was able to find a couple of things that made sense or a couple of things that are good. So this comes from Penelope Trunk via Lifehacker, and it says that economist Neil Howe says that only 5% of people pick the right job on the first try. He also calls those people fast starters and says they are less creative, less adventurous, less innovative, which is why a conventional common path works well for them. So maybe you shouldn't even aspire to be one of those people, especially how Neil describes them. But Penelope has some like guides on what you should do. First, she says, don't believe the hype because the media hype isn't true to real life. Some people say it's so fulfilling to be farmers, for instance, like growing stuff, herding cattle, like, you know, growing your own livestock, you know, selling meat. In reality, she says that it's ridiculously difficult to be a farmer. It is tough work. It's not like what you see on TV or like the advertisements and stuff. The same goes for lawyers. Lawyers are not the people you see on like Boston Legal. That's not what they do like every single day. And every year, the American Bar Association conducts a survey to ask lawyers if they would recommend their profession to other people. And the majority of lawyers say no, they wouldn't, because it's not at all what you read about in books or like John Grisham novels or, you know, the stuff that you see on like TV shows and stuff.
Yeah, that's what happens, I think, you know, like people go through after watching Law and Order, decide with lawyers. A lot of people went to forensic science for a while when CSI first came out.
Yeah. And then they found out it's not what they do. It's not what they do at all. So the second thing she says is pursue a lifestyle, not a job title. And I love this because she says most people want to be like musicians or writers or startup founders, entrepreneurs, without realizing the lifestyle that comes with it. So it's a package deal. Most successful writers spend years working on books that no one wants to read. Like I think Stephen King lived in like a trailer with his wife and he wrote like draft after draft until like someone found one of his stories creepy enough to publish. Then he made a living for himself. And creative people also have to give up everything in order to pursue creativity. It's a 24/7 job. More often than not, their families have to move with them and they sacrifice all sorts of things around them. Startup founders make startups their life. There is no family time or off time. They fail again and again and again before they sort of like find stability with their company. And even then, they have to be afraid of either becoming out of date or failing once more. So it's a constant job. The last thing she says is don't overcommit to your job because job hopping is a good sign of someone trying to figure out what they want to do and where they fit. So it's a good thing, not a bad thing, you know, as opposed to the previous stigma of, you know, don't job hop. Like once you get a job, just stick with it because, you know, it's difficult to find careers and stuff. Also, she says there's no reason to overcommit to one path. You can dislike something today that you enjoyed a few years ago, so you can change accordingly. And the only thing you need to worry about is fixing your resume, because make sure your resume tells a good story about yourself. So sort of word it in a way that reflects you as a person and don't worry about it having like too many things or if people think you are, you know, changing or shifting jobs too often. So that's one. The other one that I found interesting, I don't know if I agree or not, but it's another one that I found interesting was this TED Talk, a snippet from this TED Talk by Benjamin Todd. And he basically says, if you want to find work you love, you shouldn't follow your passion.
Helping others is the secret to being personally fulfilled and happy. Today, we actually have hard data to back this up. Professor of psychology Martin Seligman, in his 2011 book Flourish, aimed to sum up the last couple of decades of empirical research into what really causes people to be satisfied and happy in their lives. And two of the key ingredients he identifies just are doing what's valuable. The first of these is achievement, or sometimes called mastery. And this means getting really good at something, working hard and getting good at something. And the second is meaning, also called purpose. And this means striving to do something greater than just make yourself happy. So it means making the world a better place. Put the two together, get good at something that makes the world a better place. Do what's valuable. And I think doing what's valuable has lots of other personal benefits as well. For instance, even if you work in a charity, the people who have the greatest impact do the most valuable things, find it easiest to raise funding, and therefore to pay their bills. And that's important too. And I've at least found in my own experience that if you focus on helping others, then lots of people want you to succeed. So it's actually easier to be successful as an altruist compared to just being in it for yourself. So it now turns out that actually the advice, follow your passion, just gets things backwards. Rather than start from what we happen to be passionate about now and then hope that success and a fulfilling career will follow, instead it's much more true to say that we should focus on doing what's valuable. And then that will lead to passion and a fulfilling career.
Agreed.
Yeah, so that's another interesting take, because he says don't follow your passion at first. Like, you know, if you are passionate about something, it's fine, but find a way to do something that helps people and then make that your passion.
Which interesting
I don't know if that works.
I don't know. I like the idea about, you know, the altruism and helping other people out first, and then people will come and want you to succeed in doing that. Kind of makes sense.
Yeah,
you know,
I think it's a it's an ideal view of the job scope and stuff. I don't know. I'm sure there are a lot of people who tried doing that and then just found that they couldn't survive for themselves.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I remember he was referring to the book Flourish, which I'm reading. It's a brilliant book, and it's also it's and how when we talk about flourish and you know and finding that mastery. And along the way, you'll find that purpose and you'll find that as well. I think that's important too. Sometimes we're so caught up with, you know, fine, you know, we believe these memes, right? And so, you know, be happy. And sometimes these things take you on a wrong journey when you're not very clear about it. You know, because even if you do a job, like I'm sure we love what we do, but there are some things that we don't like.
Yes.
You know, in the day to day of being in radio as well. But that doesn't mean, right, you know, you start searching for another career. There are going to be aspects of the work that you didn't like. You know, I mean, I enjoy working in PR. I hate sending out, calling the editors, will you be sending a journalist? Will you be sending a journalist? I hate that bit, but that's part and parcel of the job.
Did you get my press release? Did you get my press release?
You know what I mean? So I feel for them, for those who have, you know, are calling in for us, to us as well, because I've been there.
All right. Folks, we're going to take a break in a second. Just very quickly, one more message before we go into a break. We were talking about scholarships earlier on. Somebody via Margaret Wing over on WhatsApp has said that the British International School Phuket has 5 sports academies and gives a number of scholarships through each one every year. For a student who loves their sports and not their academics, first-hand experience with our son, it's the perfect answer for holistic education, because if they don't keep up with everything else at school, they are out, and the training is something they don't want to forfeit. They come out with an international business diploma, which is broad enough that they can go in many and varied directions or continue to generalize if not ready. Sorry, IB diploma. There you go. We've got to take a short break. Music coming up from Bad Company with The Way I Choose. When we come back, final story of the day. Ask these 6 questions before collaborating with another business. When you've finally grown up and you've decided to do business. Frida, coming up in just a sec on BFM 89.9.
Exciting stuff.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.